Right. Well, just going back over this past week, I suppose the statistic that got everybody excited in the US was the June CPI, and it was a little bit less than expected. Came in at 0.2%, rather than 0.3% the market expected for the month of June. And the net result of that was that the annual inflation rate in the US, the headline inflation rate, came down from 4% to 3%. Now, the problem is that when you go to the core CPI and you take out food and energy prices, that still came in a little bit below expectation, but the annual rate of inflation there has come down a lot less, or to a lot higher level. So it came down to 4.8% from 5.3%. And we start to get very, very sticky at that level for the core inflation rates over the next few months, because we had a series of quite low readings going back to this time last year. So the issue is that, yeah, it looks great. You know, the headline's down to 3, but and it could actually hold down at that level for a month or two, but it's got a sort of spring on it where it's probably going to bounce back at some point in the later months of this year, and the Fed's well aware of that. And so in that sense, welcome news, but it may not be quite enough for the Fed not to keep tightening. And the market got it into its head last week that, you know, oh, the Fed's over now, this is all done and dusted. But that may not be quite right. We'll know in just over a week's time. We've got the next Fed meeting coming the last Wednesday of this month. So wait and see what the Fed does then. And some of the other data, which is still running pretty much on the firmer side, we have weekly initial jobless claims, for example. And the jobless claims, they came down to 237,000 from 249,000. So that still implies that there's some strength in the labour market in the US. We saw that the week before with the non-farm payrolls. Whilst the non-farm payrolls came in around about 200,000, you know, the average hourly earnings actually lifted on a year-on-year basis and went up to 4.4% on an 0.4% monthly increase. So, you know, that's another one of these factors which suggests that we've still got some problems ahead of us. Now, having said that, we had producer price information. We had import prices came out last week from the US. And, they, if anything, just point the other way for the CPI in the very near term. Imported inflation is looking less. That's because we've had some pullback running through energy prices. So June import prices were down 0.2%. That was after a 0.4% fall the month before. And for producer prices, you know, that's reflected in there, where in June, headline producer prices were up 0.1% and only 0.1% year-on-year. So, you know, for a month or two, we've got this little bit of a lull in the inflation pipeline, but many of the demand factors in the US are still pointing to it actually having a resurgence at some point later in the year. And one that lends itself towards that, right at the end of the week, we had July consumer sentiment. And consumer sentiment had quite a bounce on it. These are the preliminary readings, and it went up to 72.6 from 64.4. Market was looking for 65.5 on that. Now, 72.6 is not, in absolute terms, a high reading, but it's one big rise compared with the previous month, and suggests that, you know, there's still some spending power there in the US. And why wouldn't there be? Because you've got wages, which are actually, for the time being, running above inflation. You're getting big, real wage increases running through the US at the moment. And so, if anything, you know, that's going to keep demand pretty strong. This week in the US, we get a range of indicators, and a lot of them relating to housing, but we also get retail sales data, industrial production data. So I'll be watching a lot of these to see what, you know, the relative strength of the US economy looks like. What I would say at this stage is there's no sign of a recession in the near term. You know, we've been worrying about the US moving towards recession at some point. Well, it's not there on recent data, and it's not there likely over the course of the next few months. And so, for example, on Tuesday, we've got retail sales coming out for the month of June, and they're expected to be stronger than they were back in May. So the market's looking for retail sales to be up 0.5% after being up 0.3% the month before. Core retail sales are expected to be up by 0.3% after being up 0.1%. So you've got this, you know, underswell really there of strong support from consumer spending still for US economic growth. industrial production, slightly the opposite, probably down slightly, down 0.1% after being down 0.2% the month before. And then we get the various housing indicators, and we have the National Association of Home Builders Index coming out for the month of July. Going back last month, that had a big bounce on it to 55 from 50 going back the month before. It's expected to hold that level at 55. So there's some optimism amongst home builders in the US, something we lack here, but it's certainly there in the US. We get housing starts and housing permits and existing home sales coming out. Now, market thinks we're going to get a little bit of softness in all these indicators relative to the previous month. And that's because the previous month, they all had quite a bounce on them. So housing starts, for example, back in May, lifted by 21.7% in the month. So the market thinks, well, we're going to give back at least half that. So the market consensus is around minus 11% for the month of June. We'll wait and see whether that happens. But if it didn't, then obviously we've got signs that we've got a fair bit of strength running through housing. Housing permits, which going back to May, were up 5.6% month on month. Market thinks they'll be flat for the month of June, but put those 2 months together, they're looking pretty strong. And existing home sales, which going back to May lifted 0.2%, for June, market's looking for those to fall by 1.6%. We'll also be watching the initial jobless claims again just to see whether that fall down to 237,000 is sustained and showing still quite a deal of residual strength running through the US labour market. So all these indicators, obviously important as far as the Fed's concerned, they'll be watching them fairly carefully. Moving across to China, and you've got a very different economy over there. The story in most other economies is that you've got excess demand stretching supply. In the case of China, you've got excess output and too little demand. And so you've got this very soft recovery after lockdowns in China. It's also got some prices actually falling in China. So we had the June CPI came out and producer prices. The CPI actually fell 0.2%. It fell 0.2% the month before as well. So the annual inflation rate in China has come down from 0.2% to zero year on year. So uniquely, you've got this very, very weak inflation rate in China. Producer prices, these year on year are going even deeper into negative territory. So they were down 4.6% year on year, going back to the month of May. It went even deeper into negative territory, minus 5.4% year on year. Interesting one that, whilst China's not so locked in to the international supply chain these days, largely for political reasons, if anything, that's a factor which may help to keep inflation in check in other countries. And then China's links to the rest of the world. So we had June exports and imports, and their trade data is getting worse and suggests some weakness in economic activity. So we had exports in China. They were down 7.5% year on year, going back to May. That worsened to minus 12.4% year on year in the month of June. Market was looking for minus 9.5 on that, so it was actually quite a bit worse than market expectation too. And the same was true on the import side of their trade ledger, where going back to May, it was minus 4.5% year on year. That worsened to minus 6.8%. Market was looking for minus 4 there. So again, this deterioration running through the external account. Today, around lunchtime our time, we get the big run of data out of China. They're one of the first economies to report Q2 GDP, and that comes out today. And at this stage, it looks like GDP rose by 0.5%. Going back to the previous quarter, it was a 2.2% quarterly rise. Paradoxically, that will actually lift the year-on-year annual GDP rate to 7.3% from 4.5% if it comes in at 0.5. But that's only because if you went back to Q2 last year, deep in lockdown, and you had a very big negative quarterly GDP growth rate. So once we get to Q3 and getting into the bounce part of the cycle, you'll see that year on year really start to come down again as far as China's concerned, but this will be the spike before it starts to come back. You see the weakness more clearly in some of the other indicators which are coming out for the month of June, where we're looking at June fixed asset investment spending in China, which is largely driven by public dictate. And that looks as if it'll come down or come back to about 3.5% year on year from 4%. Industrial production was at 3.5% year on year going back to May, probably going to drift down to about 2.7% year on year. And the big one, retail sales for the month of June, was up 12.7% year on year going back to May. That looks as if it's going to come back to 3.2% year on year. So quite a significant deceleration running through there. And you know, that implies that the Chinese still need to do some more with policy. Thursday this week, you know, we don't look at People's Bank of China meetings that much, but going back a month or so ago, they did drop their interest rates by only 10 basis points to 3.55%. There has to be a high probability they're going to drop their interest rates again when their central bank meets on Thursday. Moving to Australia. And last week, we had a fair number of sentiment surveys coming up. We had the NAB business survey coming out for the month of June. The interesting part about this, as far as business conditions are concerned, there was an improvement to +9 from +8. And business confidence, too, went from -3 to 0. So some small improvement running through both those indicators. And we also had the same in the July Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey. We're going back to June. Now, you know, the absolute level of this index is very, very low. And going back to June, we had a small bounce on it, up 0.2%. But in July, we had another increase, 2.7% month on month. It's still at a very low absolute level and still suggests that consumer sentiment is weak. But the change is just shifting towards slightly stronger, which is, you know, obviously a bit of a worrying development as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned. And then, of course, we had a lot of announcements from relating to the Reserve Bank last week. Yeah, we had the new monetary policy arrangements for next year, which were announced in a speech by the current Reserve Bank Governor, Phil Lowe. And essentially not a lot's going to change for the remainder of this year. We've still got our monthly monetary policy meetings all the way through the remainder of this year. It's next year where we go from 11 meetings a year down to 8. We have February, May, August, November meetings will occur as they have this year, and they'll still be on the first Tuesday, or the Reserve Bank, the new board, will meet on the Monday as well, so it'll be over a two-day period. And then they'll fit the other meetings in between those meetings, but they'll still be on a first Tuesday of the month when they announce those. So we'll get the calendar for that a bit later. But and also the monetary policy statements, not much change there either. They usually come out, again, those same 4 months, but the Friday after the Tuesday meeting. They're going to be announced at the same time as the meeting. The other change that we'll notice next year is that instead of the Reserve Bank Governor providing a press release, there'll be a press conference, and it will be the board which announces the change and answers questions on that. And we'll also get some idea of the vote in those meetings. It won't be attributed, but we'll get the vote count for policy change and otherwise. So yeah, those essentially are the changes which are coming in next year. And of course, we had the announcement of the new RBA governor. Phil Lowe's term finishes finally on 17th of September, so he will preside over the next two meetings. And then Michelle Bullock, his deputy, who is literally in lockstep with Phil Lowe. This is the interesting part about this change. She has nearly 40 years experience going up through the ranks at the Reserve Bank. She has been very close to Phil Lowe in terms of thinking and support all the way through the last year. She's been deputy governor over the course of the past year. So she's attended just about every single one of the meetings, which has been putting interest rates up and helping to phrase the comments that come out afterwards. And in speeches, there's no difference. She looks at exactly the same things that RBA Governor Lowe's looking at. So basically, it doesn't mean any change to the way in which interest rates would otherwise have moved for the remainder of this year at least. Still looking at that relating to the relative strength of demand, the labour market, and how inflation's moving. So no real change coming out of that. And next year, we'll wait and see. Whether the communication, how the communication could be relatively better is hard to determine. In fact, it could become a lot more confused when you have a lot more people speaking and declaring why they're maybe at odds with the decision. So we'll wait and see how things turn out as we go into the next year. This week, though, we'll have the minutes of the last meeting. That was the meeting that left things on hold. That's out tomorrow. It was a line ball case again, and we'll wait and get an indication from that how things may move beyond. At this stage, it's a line ball decision again when they get into August. We've had some demand indicators which, if anything, have lifted a little bit. Inflation's come down a little bit more than expected, but you've also had some announcements of some fairly big wage increases over a number of years, and particularly so in the finance sector, the banking sector. So it's going to be very line ball what the Reserve Bank does when it gets to the next meeting. And one of the key figures which may determine that comes out on Thursday. That's our labour force reading. Going back a month ago, we had huge increase in employment, up 75,900, with a very strong labour force participation rate, 66.9%, and the unemployment rate down to 3.6%. The market consensus is that we'll get around about a 17,000 increase in employment for the most recent month. We'll probably hold around the 66.9%. participation rate. The unemployment rate would be not much changed, around about the 3.6% mark. At that level or a bit stronger, it's probably just shading the dial a little bit in favour of a rate hike when we go through to the next meeting. To Europe, and we had a number of indicators came out last week. The interesting ones are that anything to do with confidence and sentiment looks rather weaker, whereas anything relating hard to actual economic activity was, if anything, slightly strong. So we had July Centix investor confidence, which deteriorated to minus 22.5 from minus 17. It was weaker than expected. We had ZEW economic sentiment for the month of July. That was weaker than expected too, minus 12.2 from minus 10. But May industrial production was comparatively firm, up 0.2% after being up 1% the month before. And the trade balance out of Europe was a lot better than expected, came in at 0.3 billion euro deficit from 12 billion euro deficit the month before, with a pretty strong showing by exports. So it's, again, very, very mixed. And again, towards the end of this month, we'll have the ECB meeting. And at this stage, it's still leaning towards another interest rate hike there. This week in Europe, we'll get preliminary consumer confidence for July coming out on Thursday. But before that, we'll also have the June CPI coming out. We've already had the preliminary read on that. It looks as if it'd be the same as the preliminary, around 5.5% year on year from 6.1% going back the month before. So inflation coming down, but nowhere near enough. And consumer confidence still languishing around about the minus 16 level on that index. So all told, we've got many of these central banks which are getting towards the top of their cycle. Some may still have a little bit more in there. The data's getting very mixed in terms of what they should do next. All we can say is that we're getting closer to the top of the cycle. Even when we do get to the top of the cycle, we've got a fairly long period before they can think about bringing rates down. and that includes here, even though we've changed a few arrangements as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned.